Thank you for tuning in to Ujuaji. The views expressed on this podcast are solely those of the individuals and do not represent any group or entity. Special thanks to our production team and to Folklore for the technical support. Ujuaji is proudly supported by OneBeat.
Right, so the state is not about empowering you.
Ever.
Ever. Because through your labor, we're able to tax you.
Mm-hmm. There is no capitalism without labor. First, yeah. There's no life without labor. Mm. Right? Because everything, literally, like a cure to an illness, a dope chapo you ate at lunchtime, a haircut, bro. These clothes, there's nothing that can happen without intentional human labor.
What is the line between capitalism and business? Okay, me, I want to grow. So for me, in the company, are you saying that everybody should own the company? Are you saying that I should pay everybody the same because then I'll never climb up the class system?
So you're saying, what you're saying is we are all capitalists.
No. Do you think this is, and I'm touching specifically on the leadership point, I think a large part of it is based on our deep integration to what the global capitalist economy looks like. Mm-hmm. So even as a nation, our policies on export, on production, on trade are based on our staying or remaining plugged into the sources of capitalism, mm-hmm. right? So we have a flower trade deal with the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we have tons and tons of flower farms employing hundreds of thousands of Kenyans at worst wage, worst conditions, whatever those things are compared to export value of these flowers. Mm. All these are owned by private individuals. So the export of these flowers is not a national thing that we do that benefits the nation. It benefits flower farmers who then employ the people in this whatever villages. From my understanding, the people themselves starting to own this means of production, the value of their time, the value of labor, equals the end of capitalism. Because mm-hmm. the second the people wake up and they're like, me, I'm not going to work for 5 cents an hour, then you can't continue to produce. We have a crisis. Mm-hmm. So even the leadership is required to maintain people in that state. Mm-hmm. This is why our leaders rely on that 50 bob they give you when they come. We need elections. Here's like a 50 bob or a sock. Because me, I need to get you used to this idea of kuna mheshimiwa who gives me 100 bob every time I see them. They're my lifeline. Whether or not I work, leave even wages. Mm. The leadership has been trained to manage the people, the labor, which is an important element of keeping capitalism alive, yep. that the people need to be as disempowered as possible so that yep. whatever I give them, if today we say, man, we've cut a deal and we're going to open 17 more EPZ factories, it's based purely on how little can I take labor. I'll give you a very relevant example. Right mm-hmm. now there's something happening where I believe the county or the government or someone is creating jobs for young people. Yeah. What those young people have been told to do is in the morning, you come at 7 a.m. with a broom or a slasher mm-hmm. or a whatever. Then you come around State House, around government schools and nini. Cut the grass here. I give you money at the end of the day.
Kazi kwa vijana.
Kazi kwa vijana. Mm-hmm. So then they give us a report that...
Kazi mtaani or kazi kwa vijana?
Kazi mtaani. So we are creating these jobs for the youth. Mm-hmm. Okay? Hundreds of thousands of jobs for the youth who are being asked to wake up, go buy brooms, come and sweep our roads for possibly the least. I don't imagine they're giving those kiddos a G a day for the work that they're doing. For the government, they've ticked a box. We have created labor and I've even created now this guy has a hunger to make this 100 bob a day because I gave it to him for 60 days. Mm. What's the next place I can put him where he's willing to work? How many guys will come and work for 100 bob or 200 bob a day so that I can see how best, how many of those are available? And so I think this maybe help me think because I'm at the point where now is our state a capitalist?
Oh, 100%. You know, when you think about how in the origins of capitalism that there was the one that was perpetuated by the private enterprises, which was very much in Britain, and then there was the France version, which was state-led, right? And the whole point of it is that in the state one, it's like, we'll build the factories, right? Mm-hmm. It's just that you come and
work for us.
Come and work for us, right?
So we as the state,
yeah,
yes, will build a factory.
Build a factory. We'll do all the things that the capitalist,
that the private capitalist
does.
Yeah.
So the only difference is that it's the state that's doing it.
Yeah.
Right? So the state is not about empowering you.
Ever.
Ever. Because through your labor, we're able to tax you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We are able to make sure. And this is one of the things that happens, especially, one of the best places to obviously see that perpetuated is in societies like, when you look at America, like how literally, my friend, that place is
a mess,
wage
bro.
Slavery.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm.
Here, if you stop working, you die.
Mm. Mm.
Literally, you're paid every 2 weeks. And it's like, you stop working, you die. Right? And the state has literally found a way to be able to create laws, which is what happened in the origins of the origins of capitalism, was the state begins. So meaning that if the state is not participating in, like France, in capitalism, it's working with the private enterprises to create laws that continue to make sure that you do not, that it is incredibly difficult for you to survive out of this system.
I think you're saying something so important, because I think I read, was it like in England? Yeah, so when they were establishing this system, if you were in somewhere working, if you were caught loitering as a person, as in auko kwa shamba ya mtu kifanya kazi, they would...
They'd
branding on your face, and if you were caught the second time, you'd be killed, bro.
Yep.
So everybody had to work.
Everyone had to work. And that's the whole point. But think about it. These were all peasants who had been dispossessed.
Yes, and that's the bedrock of capitalism. And I think that's a very important thing.
Mm.
Labor, there is no capitalism without labor. First, there's no life without labor.
Mm.
Right? Because everything, literally, like a cure to an illness, a dope chapo you ate at lunchtime, a haircut, bro, these clothes, there's nothing that can happen without intentional human labor.
Yep.
The capitalist holds that labor is a commodity. First, the capitalist holds everything is a commodity. Everything is commodity. Everything is a commodity. It can be bought and it can be sold. And
including
you. Mm. This is why you could sell slaves. Everything is everything is a commodity, because capitalists believe in a thing called the market. The free market, the forces of demand and supply. If guys are demanding slaves and you can supply slaves, bro, we got you. As we want coffee, if you can deliver coffee, we're in business. It's demand and supply, but the bedrock of this whole thing is labor. So me, I feel like because in thinking about these things, like from that time to now, why didn't we revert to normal settings? Why didn't, you know, the idea of labor, of waged labor, became how the country worked. So before, where you had owners, now you had laborers. Now, in your laboring, I'm so sorry, I'm just hitting everything in this podcast today. You can choose, you can scale up in your labor. The way to scale up in labor is education, which is also a commodity. So previously, education was communal. Here, education is a commodity. Just like the factory, you have to leave your house to come to my place to learn. Then you go back to your house. So previously, you learned in your communities. Now you have to come to me. I teach you, and I set the syllabus. So then you can work your way up. So you can be a judge of the High Court, for example. You're still a laborer, bro. Mm. But as a judge of the High Court, there's a degree of education and distinction, and then we're going to pay you against this education. So we pay you for this, your education. Now, the guy who didn't need to come to my school for me to teach him, we're going to call that guy Jua Kali Sector. The guy who uses his natural instinct, the guy who makes a boat in Lamu or in Kisumu, right? The guy whose family have been ironsmiths their whole life, those guys didn't come to you to teach them. So you have to devalue that labor. You have to call that informal. Because you also, remember, we have to manage always, we have to maintain a class system. This is how you incentivize laborers to move up, to take, to buy more of your education, you have to incentivize them using this. So you can't manage, you can't finish class. So I'm just thinking about like that thing that you were saying in this switch between, you cannot finish class because now if we have, now we own all the milk in the country. You just make your milk and give it to me. I'm going to process it. I'm going to repackage it. And then I'm going to sell it. Right? And you, I'm going to give you some shillings against this milk. And I'm going
shillings that I determine the value.
Correct. I'm the one who's determined how much I'm buying per liter. Mm. Right? And then me, I have a thing called distribution. You don't have. So even if you don't sell to me, unless you sell to your neighbor, but your neighbor is like you. Your neighbor also has cows. So your neighbor is not buying you milk.
So and remember, your neighbor, what, and yeah. remember what Brooke said we're trying to do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Where they were yeah. trying to sneak
even that
in,
bill in parliament. In a law yeah, yeah.
That you can't sell
milk at your door.
You have to bring it to be processed,
right? But who invented this idea of process? That's a capitalist because yep. people were drinking their milk from time immemorial. If there's been cows and humans know how to drink the milk, they've been drinking the milk. So I think for me it's very important when we are thinking about this construct called Kenya, when we think about the way African countries right now are rigged, the way countries around the whole world are rigged right now, it is capitalists who have rigged that system. So now capitalists will let you do multiple things. You guys want to feel like you've been heard and seen. So you want to choose amongst your capitalists. So we're going to have a thing called elections. No problem. What you're doing in the election is you're choosing between a bunch of capitalists. There can also be another left-wing guy. That guy's not a capitalist. That guy has ideals. But us guys own the media. So we're going to run the story on the media about that guy's ideals as very unrealistic.
And we also have the capital, which is a key element indeed. Of being a capitalist. So and I can fund anybody I want.
A campaign. And because I'm talking exactly. to these possessed people.
In fact, that's what exactly they did. That's the reason why they decided to own media in England, is because they were like, we want to influence the politics.
Yes.
So meaning that these guys didn't want to just be in the means of production, in terms of the production of factories, machinery, or products, whatever. They also wanted to be in the production of knowledge.
Of ideas.
Imagine. Even the ideas
but
and the knowledge.
But it's also the control of yes, the people. Yes, right? Yes, yes. So if I have the media, I set the agenda. Mm-hmm. So you guys want to talk about the things that would make you, the things that you truly feel, the things that you feel are dispossessed because the land was never given back to you anyway. But now us guys are going to tell you that the problem is the way we share the national pie. Mm-hmm. Who has set up a topic called national pie? The capitalist, who is now a politician. And because it continues to benefit the capitalist, the system remains. And then you have to continue to utilize the things of the system. So the same things that came in. So we used religion to alienate you from who you are. And so the combination of education and religion to break your cultural norms and to acquire you new norms. To maintain those new norms, we will continue to do that. That's why there's a whole branch of like Christianity called prosperity gospel. It's really about how we can help you scale this, your poverty, into riches, into an abundance of riches. Even your Father in heaven is about these riches. All of that is just playing with the psychology of the people. So the people never actually stop to be like, why am I waiting to go to heaven to have an amazing life? Why can't I have an amazing life right here, right now? And then when you have too many radical thoughts, they use this other thing called force. So the state has a monopoly of force. So when you guys go demonstrate, we're okay. Maybe one day, 2 days. On the third day, we send the military to kill you, to silence your voices. You are not allowed to escape this capitalist thing.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's also, when you think about them being involved in the production of knowledge, I think it's also the perspective of, you know, being able to glorify this thing that didn't exist at some point. Do you get what I'm saying? That we operate as though capitalism has been there forever.
Forever.
Like, it's how humans have always operated. It's not true.
It's not true,
it's not
bro.
True. Like, that's actually, like, it's false.
No. This
is not how we've always been.
No.
And the thing is, I think fundamentally, when you think about, like, the... Just to kind of bring it... I don't know if it's bring it home, but just to bring it closer to you, is that when you think about the fact that the capitalist thinking is... I'm going to pay you 250 G's so that you can, and then give you a target to make me 250 million.
in one financial year,
and you have no piece of that. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's like
maybe
it's,
you'll get a bonus.
Yeah, maybe you'll get.
Thank you, because you've walked straight into my train of thought right now. Because I mean, it's very easy to look and I understand the part of leadership and how our colonization equals capitalism, and I understand that. But you've just said that it's not. It hasn't been around for a long time. Mm. So me, I'm looking at 100 years. It's been here for 100 years. Mm. In 100 years, there's been significant impact in how, as individuals, so come out of the capitalist. Me, I don't look at myself as a capitalist.
No, you're just Mr. Russell.
Me, I'm just an individual who I've been born into a world where I need to work, right, for me to own, right, this ownership you're talking about, and for me to own land, for me to own, and for me to not have to be a slave. I just need to work harder. So I've gone to school. My parents have taken me to school. I've done all this. I've
even if your parents
hustle.
Don't know what's in the curriculum,
they
you
don't
go
know
to
me.
School.
I've been taken. I've gone through the process. Wonderful. I've learned these things. Yeah. And then now I've started. I did a job. I need it. I finished. I've gone. I've become an entrepreneur because I also want to climb up this class system. I don't want to become a politician. I don't want to ingia there and get at a free shamba in my county or whatever. I'm currently working, but. If capitalism is inequality of wealth and exploitation of labor, even in what I consider our private life, in the private sector, for me to climb up this class system, there is a heavy element of this idea because what is the line between capitalism and business? Okay, me, I want to grow. So for me, in the company, are you saying that everybody should own the company? Are you saying that I should pay everybody the same because then I'll never climb up the class system, right? So there's the point where we are saying, yes, the government became like this. How did the people become like that? Because if this definition is just around exploitation and inequality, there's capitalism in private sector. There's we're looking at all this foreign, I don't know what, investment drama that's in the internet of local people not being able to access funding. And all. None of that has to do with the government.
It's all individuals. So you're saying, what you're saying is we are all capitalists.
No, I'm asking. I don't know if I'm saying. I'm wondering.
Poa, wacha nikupatie jibu. Wewe ni mkapitalisti. Mimi ni
by choice or as a victim of circumstances?
So first, the first thing is that we are all victims of capitalism. Because when you were born, you found a system that works. So you were already sold for the Kool-Aid for... Go to school, work hard, get a good job, work your way up through the ladder with your first guap, go buy this shamba, acquire the acquisition of capital. You need to flip it. So even if you have no business buying that shamba there because you have no interest, you're just going to buy it speculatively because in 10 years, I'm going to be able to sell this shamba for X amount, okay? So you've already been brought into a capitalist system. It's like racism. When you wake up in this world and just... As a child who's been born, as soon as you smell that air, you are now smelling a thing. There's a world system that is in operation. So we didn't choose capitalism initially. We found it and we were incentivized to learn about it. So as a kid, for example, when you learned that you guys can buy sweets at 5 bob and go and sell in school for 10 bob. So now I can make an extra 5 bob and my original capital of 5 bob has been retained.
Which I thought was B.Ed.
Correct. Yeah. You learned capitalist principles and they were sold to you as a thing to aspire for and to desire. And even in your family, you have those cousins who never had the good education. So now your cousins of no good education and your cousins of good education. So you, as growing up, you can even see these inequalities. You can see when you go to visit your auntie who lives in uptown and you guys live in Dagoretti corner like us guys. So when we go to visit Akina Mama Mwangi with their upstairs house in South C, I can see that there's a distinct difference between living in the ghetto and living in a house with an upstairs. So I am incentivized already
to do whatever they
to
are
do
doing.
What that, 'cause that thing is dope. And it's true because when you're living in the ghetto, it's not fun, bro. It's home, but it's not fun. You don't have like clean running water. You're not sure about electricity. The social services that are provided are so scanty. Like if you become sick at night, like we don't know where we're going to take you to hospital. So the system incentivizes you. So for very many years, we never stopped to think about, are we capitalists? Then this is the point where we voluntarily became capitalists. At the point at which we started to employ people.
But we call ourselves entrepreneurs.
Indeed. So first, wait. Your entrepreneurship tunakuja. Wacha tuanze kwa nyumba yako. Sawa. As we are over here, we are just smelling the good smells of chapati on the way. Sindio? Somebody is making chapo, which means that somebody's labor. But me, at the point at which I started to earn money to pay somebody, I had already seen a system where that person's labor is valued way less than the labor of the person who is sitting in the office. Okay? Remember the thing I was saying about skilled and unskilled labor? This person didn't go to a school called Utalii to learn how to be a chef. Because if they had gone to that school to be taught that thing, then their labor, their where they come in on the scale is higher. So this person probably didn't finish school. Or maybe they finished school and that they're just looking for a job. They just need something to do. Because like Thimba had rightly pointed out, the capitalist system locks you out of life unless you have a wage.
You must have a wage. It involves blocking the opportunities.
Yeah, you must have a wage. Scarcity. How are you going to pay for electricity and water and tissue paper for your toilet? You have to have a wage. You have to earn money. So this person has come to earn money. But me, I've already been taught to value the labor that they do as way less than me, who is running my entrepreneur company. And I even speak good English. So then I start to say to this person, unataka yako ni pesa ngapi? I forget that there's a power break here. Number one, this person doesn't have 1,000 options for jobs. So if they don't take my terms, there's quite a good chance that they won't find another job, or they'll find another job at even less than what I'm offering them. So they're very disempowered in that conversation. So now even as they're giving me a price, me, I'm like, based on nothing except what I saw, I'm now valuing their labor, which I can't live without, because me, I can't make chapo from zero. Okay? That is where we became capitalists. We inherited this thing that we found of abuse, of a kufinyilia watu, of exploiting labor. That is the principle of capitalism. You have to own everything. So it doesn't matter whether you dispossess people. And number two, you have to manage the cost of labor. Because that's the only thing you can't do without in this capitalism system. And that's also why capitalists keep funding research. We're like, you get how can we mechanize? You get how can we have AI? You get how can we even remove? Because these human beings are very complicated. They want toilet breaks.
They're becoming more and more expensive.
They have labor unions. Do they want benefits? Do you to be paid for hospital? Forget it. Can this robot make what 100 people were making in 100 days? Can this robot do it in 3 days? So capitalists fund science to replace labor. Labor is the big contention of capitalism. And that's the place where I think it's important that we all understand, whereas we are all victims, we are also all complicit, and especially as gays, we're called entrepreneurs.
Thank you for tuning into Ujuaji. The views expressed on this podcast are solely those of the individuals and do not represent any group or entity. Special thanks to our production team and to Folklore for the technical support. Ujuaji is proudly supported by OneBeat.